Let's give Jesus a big, big, big hand clap. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Wave your hands to Jesus. Hosanna to the King. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Forever and ever your name alone is to be praised. Forever and ever your name alone is to be exalted. Go ahead and make declarations of love, declarations of faith. The Bible says, he that cometh unto God must come believing that he exists, and then that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Lord, we give you praise. Lord, we give you praise. Yes, the world will bow down and say you are God. We'll bow down and say you are King. Sing it one more time. Yes, the world.
Yes, the world.
We'll bow down and say you are God. Every man.
Every man.
We'll bow down and say you are King. Hallelujah. All the way from Glasgow. So let's start right. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I welcome everyone to a Sunday service all the way from Glasgow, Scotland. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory be to Jesus. Let me request that you walk to two or three people and tell them you're welcome. This is Koinonia. Go ahead. You're welcome. This is Koinonia. We're being hosted tonight from Glasgow, Scotland, streaming to the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. Now, I want us to give a thunderous round of applause to our global family connected online. Thank you. Thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let me use this opportunity already to appreciate everyone speaking to you here on site and to the many following online. Thank you for making Sound of Revival UK 2025 a great, impactful conference. Can we give Jesus a big hand clap for the miracles, for the word, for the worship, for testimonies? We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Please, you may be gloriously seated. Welcome to church. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now the Lord is that spirit, the Bible declares. And it says, where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty. And tonight, may that be your encounter. May that be your testimony in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let me start by reading for you a statement I wrote here, and I was meditating on this while just brushing up on my notes, and I had to just pause for a moment and just meditate on the truthfulness of this statement. Here's what I wrote. The quality of believers that emerge from any ministry are a reflection of the quality of trainings they receive. the quality of believers that emerge from any ministry are a reflection or depend on the quality of training they receive. That means that if you find an ill-prepared, ill-furnished believer, that condition is traceable to the kind of training, the kind of mentorship, or otherwise that he or she would have received from any ministry at all. The quality of believers that emerge from any ministry are a reflection and depend on the quality of trainings they receive. Furthermore, I said the quality of trainings ultimately depend on the level of growth and understanding of the man of God, alongside the extent of seriousness invested in the assignment. And so, as a man of God, you cannot train a people beyond your level of spiritual orientation. They will be a reflection of your knowledge, your accuracy of the word, or your limitation of the word. You cannot train a people beyond your level of transformation, beyond your level of empowerment, beyond your level of growth. So when we submit ourselves to the word as ministers of the gospel, first we do that for our own personal edification, but then we do that for the sake of those connected to that grace. Because if we become and remain stunted, then we will produce a people who reflect our imbalances, our ignorance, our stuntedness. It's the reason why you have to pray for every and any man of God you truly love. Hallelujah. The reason is because the more they grow, the more they will reflect that growth in and through the teachings that they communicate. By now you know that people are made upon the words that they hear. Did you believe that? Yes. The words you hear can shape you, can break you. You can hear something today that turns you into a failure. You can hear something today that turns you into a victor. Of all the testimonies that I hear, I receive week in, week out, especially during service, in my opinion, the most impactful ones are the ones that speak directly to the transformation of the individual. Beyond healing, beyond testimonies of jobs, promotion. When I hear people say the words have transformed their understanding, spiritually, mentally, I get very inspired. Miracles, signs, and wonders can draw people. And that's the assignment, to draw people. But it's the accurate communication of the word that builds people. If you have the grace for the miraculous and you do not have spiritual intelligence enough to train and mentor people methodically, you will have a crowd of people who have been attracted by the power of God, but you will have ill-prepared people. Very large multitude of people with no spiritual understanding whatsoever. But I'm happy tonight in the name of Jesus that tonight, like every other Koinonia service, it's always a feast of light. The Lord will be dishing out mysteries. He will be communicating truths that will take someone from where you are into the place of prophecy. If I just described you, shout a believing amen. Amen. Let me encourage all those who are connecting online to pay attention, give God your attention, and with that investment, you will reap knowledge, you will reap understanding, you will reap empowerment, and you will reap grace. May that be your testimony in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let me do a quick recap before we go into the teaching of tonight. I felt inspired to do this. I'll just read it out for you. The six dimensions of knowledge fundamentally that every believer must press onto. This is not the first time I'm teaching this, but every once in a while the Holy Spirit just inspires me to remind God's people of this truth. He says, I will not be negligent to put you in remembrance of these things, although ye already know them and are established in this present truth. There are six dimensions of knowledge fundamentally that every believer, in desiring to grow, in desiring to attain unto maturity and stature in the spirit, that means when you begin your journey with God, intending to be a mighty man in the spirit, intending to sustain the capacity to live out your destiny, there are certain dimensions of truth fundamentally you must encounter and you must be conversant with. If any of these truths are omitted in your knowledge bank, you will not be a victorious believer. So let me run through the list very quickly, and that paves the way to our discussion for tonight. Number one, in order of priority, you must know God and Jesus Christ, His Son. You must know God. If you want to become mighty in the spirit, mighty in life, mighty in destiny, you must pay the price in righteousness to know God. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32, the B part says, but the people, never said but everyone, the people that do know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. Hallelujah. You must know God and Jesus Christ, His Son. John 17:3. Jesus is praying and He says, this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus whom thou hast sent. Number two, you must know yourself. You must walk with the Holy Spirit on this journey of self-discovery. You must know yourself, more so, know who you are in Christ. You must know yourself, know who you are in Christ. Psalm 49 and verse 20. Psalm 49 and verse 20. The Bible makes a very thought-provoking statement. He says, man that is in honor and knoweth not is like a beast in the field that perisheth. Meaning, even though you are ordained by God and according to the script of your prophetic destiny, are we together? The Bible says we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. It gives us all these beautiful descriptions. But the Bible says man who is in honor, ordained for honor, and yet because of ignorance, understandeth not, will be like a beast in the field that perisheth. An example of such a man was a prodigal son. He didn't realize the extent of the honor that was accorded him by being connected to his father. Rebellion, pride, ignorance altogether drove him out of the place of honor, and he began to decline until he got to a point where he fed with the swine. But as soon as knowledge, repentance, conviction came, he got up and began to pursue his place, and finally he was restored to the home, and then with his restoration came a restoration of that honor. I pray for you in the name of Jesus. Where Satan has taken advantage of you because you've not paid the price to know who you are in Christ, may the Lord tear off that veil of ignorance and show you who you are in light of who Christ is. You believe that? Say amen. Amen. We live in a world that is suffering grossly from identity crisis. We allow all kinds of platforms, from social media to the opinion of negative people, to define for us who we are. And when you ask the average person, even believers, who are you? It depends on who they heard. Social media has its interpretation as to who they think you are. Are we together? Your challenges also have a voice, and they can attempt to paint a picture of who they think you are. Your loved ones, your context, your current condition, failures of the past, all of these things have voices and they attempt to define you. But for the believer, you must sustain the intelligence to go to the Word of God. The most accurate reference for finding out and knowing who you are is not even your condition, is the Word of God. Captured within this word is a very concise and truthful definition of who you are in Christ. Your assignment is to find it prophetically and begin to grow with the Spirit into that which has been said. Are we together? As at the time you see that definition, you may fall short of that definition experientially. But that's where the Word of God comes in. That's where the Holy Spirit comes as a helper. So if He calls you the head and not the tail, and you find yourself as at the time of reading that scripture as the tail, you now begin to journey with the Holy Spirit, knowing that although currently my reality is that I am the tail, I refuse, I insist by the blood of Jesus that I will not remain the tail. Someone shout, I am the head and not the tail. Say, I am above and not beneath. Say, I am the light of the world. Say, I am the salt of the earth. Remember, words are powerful. You are not being childish as you speak. You are becoming a creator. You are participating in shaping your reality. One more time with understanding. I am the head and not the tail. Above and not beneath. I'm a child of God. Wonderfully, fearfully made. I carry the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. I am a fruitful branch connected to the vine. One more time, say that again. I am a fruitful branch connected to the vine. It's important you know this. If you don't know who you are, we live in a world that is very nasty. It will attempt to bully you into receiving definitions about you that are inconsistent with the Word of God. I will never believe anything about myself that is inconsistent with that which is written. If He's called me the head, let God be true, and every man, every condition, every circumstance be a liar. Are we together now? You must know who you are. This is very important. And let me give you a very kind advice. It's important to train children to understand their identity early in life. The first definition of who they are should not come from school. It shouldn't come from their peers. They would most likely have a very poor definition of themselves. It must come from their parents, from the home, and based on scripture. I believe the word of God. When I read this word, it told me I'm the head and not the tail. It called me victorious. Everything the Bible says I am, I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. Everybody say, I'm a believer. Number three. The third fundamental truth that you must know in desiring to attain maturity and stature, if you want to live out the fullness of your destiny, is that you must know your place. You must know your place in destiny and in God's prophetic program. This is profound. You must know your place in destiny. You must know your place in God's prophetic program. You have given me a destiny and a purpose to fulfill. So in all I am, every breath in me, I'll spend my life to see. I'll spend my time to see. I'll give myself to see Jesus revealed. And Jesus glorified, Jesus revealed. And Jesus glorified. He told Jeremiah, while she was in your mother's womb, 1 verse 5, Jeremiah, before thou camest forth, he says, I called you and I ordained you to be a prophet unto the nations. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 7, he says, lo, I come in the volume of the book as it is written of me to do your will. Every single individual in this place, I want you to know that you have a destiny in Christ. Believe that. Believe that. Your destiny is not your job. Your job can work out its way to partner with your destiny. Ambition is different from purpose. What you read in school, as wonderful as that is, it can find its way to tie to your assignment, but there are times that it can be east and west of your assignment. In order of priority, your assignment
holds greater weight in producing your fulfillment than ambition. There are many ambitious people who spend their lives, they spend decades trying to fulfill things that were not in their script. And at the end of their lives, they died painful, frustrated lives. The only way you know what you've been called to do is to know the one who called you. You cannot know your assignment outside of a revelation of the one who designed the script. The progression is that you must know him. Then as you press towards him, you will find your place in him. You cannot find your assignment outside of him. You can stumble across many relevant things that you would be engaged with for the rest of your life. But to truly find that which has your name on it, you must find him. And then when you find him, he called the disciples to be with him. And out of the overflow of that encounter and that intimacy, they found their place as apostles of the Lamb. There are so many people in our world who live angry, frustrated lives because they allow time, they allow trends to define what is useful in their life per time. So if it's social media, they jump to it. If it's music, they jump to it. Whatever it is that seems to hold weight and attract the attention of a wide enough people per time becomes their engagement. There's nothing that is worth giving their best. They don't have consistency of focus. But I want you to know that in Christ, you can find your place. And I'm not teaching on this. It's supposed to be a recap, so I don't want to tempt myself into giving you more details. But there's something I want to tell you about destiny. Everyone will not have a pioneering assignment. You need to know that. There are many of you who will cry unto God to reveal details, and there will be no details because your detail is already revealed in another assignment. What you think is another man's assignment is actually your assignment too. That's something you need to understand. Not everybody will be a man of God starting a ministry or a CEO starting a business. So the way God does it is that by the election of grace, there are people he raises, are we together, and grants them that burden to spread out an assignment. And within the accomplishment of their assignment is an opportunity for many people to live out their own purpose. Did you get that now? So for such people, God will save you the burden of elaborate descriptions about your assignment. He will simply connect Lot to Abraham. He doesn't have to waste your time giving you details. The details will come to Abraham, but your relevance is connected to your connection to Abraham. Are we together? The assignment of delivering Jesus was in the hand of Mary. And so not much, he spoke to Joseph because Joseph was the father. But eventually you see that the conversation, all of that detail, the angel did not come to Joseph at first. He came to Mary, obtained permission, and then Joseph played a role of partnership to make that happen. It's important for you to know that when we talk about finding your place, it doesn't just mean a unique space where you are the only one there. There's no major assignment that is fulfilled by one man. You can have the grace to pioneer and open that door, and then many people plunge into it. Jesus died, but his death, his burial, his resurrection, if left alone, would still not get the job done. There had to be a people. They waited for him to do the dying, the resurrection. He handed the message, and then they ran with the message. That was the assignment. Number four. The fourth fundamental truth that you must know in desiring to attain stature in the spirit is that you must understand the mysteries and the principles of the kingdom. Matthew 13:11. You must understand and you must know the mysteries of the kingdom. The mysteries of the kingdom represent the bodies of spiritual knowledge that empower the believer to manifest the God life in experience. Let me take that again. When we talk about the mysteries of the kingdom, we're necessarily not talking about something mystical just because it's called mystery. We're just giving language to to a compendium of these bodies of truth, bodies of light, that if known and if understood, can empower the believer, any believer, to manifest the reality of this Zoe life, this God life in experience. Number five, the fifth fundamental knowledge you must have and you must know is that you must understand man, M-A-N. You must understand man or humans. In all your understanding, if you do not understand man as the zenith of God's creation, you are going to have a hard life on earth. In order of priority, man is the zenith of God's creation. If you understand systems, if you understand structures, if you understand laws, and you do not understand man, your life will be miserable. Because everything that revolves around this earth finds its credence from the fact that it is in partnership with man. What you call business, we call it transactions of products and services. Well, that's fine, but in truth, all you call business is simply transaction with men. If there's no man on the earth and you open all the banks, you open all, you know, the whatever it is, the gold mines, whatever it is, it's not going to be useful. They derive their value from the fact that man is interested in them. Are we together? What made the typewriter obsolete? Because we were no longer interested in it. What made your former phone, the former versions, obsolete? Because you are progressing in your desire. And the moment man fails to desire a thing, it is no longer needed. The reason why money looks useful is because man still has an interest. If civilization advances to a point where money, cash, as you know, is no longer needed, you can look at it as a piece of paper on the ground and it holds no value. Everything on earth derives its value from the desire of man. Are we together? So in all your knowing, if you do not understand man, the complexities around this unique creature called man. What is man? The Bible says that thou art mindful of, nor the son of man that thou visitest him. This is where you learn the dynamics of relationships. This is where you learn mysteries like the law of honor. You understand friendship. You know how to connect. Your life is as advantageous as the relationships that you are connected to. If you are alone, you are in trouble, even if you are gifted. Number six. The sixth fundamental truth that you must have is that you must know your adversary, the devil. Please do not forget this. I'll repeat it for every time the Holy Spirit prompts me to. You must know your adversary, the devil. John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy." Then he says, "I am come that ye may have life, and that you have that life more abundantly." Satan comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Hallelujah. I think it's 1 Peter chapter 5, if I recall verse 8. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, he walks about seeking whom he may devour." Satan is a destroyer. You know he has passed through a system by the destruction that he metes out across that life, that system. When he comes around, he will steal, he will kill, and he will destroy. Listen to me. You want to reign as a king and a priest that you are, it's important that in all your knowing, fundamentally, it's important to know God, it's important to know man, but you have to understand the devil. You need to understand his ways. How does he tempt? How do we resist him? Paul took out time to describe for us the hierarchy of the demonic kingdom. He says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers, spiritual wickedness that reside in heavenly places." It was Paul that began to describe for us the believer's armor. And he says to hold the shield of faith, wherein with it we'll be able to quench all the fiery darts. The word dart there is an arrow. So he likens Satan to an archer. Sometimes he does not need to come close to you. From a distance, he would target a part of your life. He looks for a weak spot. He says, "No weapon fashioned against you." Weapons are fashioned. And the way Satan fashions weapons is he looks at your desires and your vulnerabilities. They become his tools for fashioning weapons against you. His, your desires, because once you have desires, then temptation becomes a possibility. If you do not have a desire, you cannot be tempted. That's why you cannot tempt a dead man. The fortitude for having a desire no longer exists. When Jesus had a desire as a result of hunger, Satan could now tempt him to turn stones into bread. The strength of temptation is that it latches up upon something you desire, and then vulnerabilities. He says, seeing that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Then he says, the sin, not a sin, the sin, a very specific limitation that doth easily beset us. Then he says, to run with perseverance the race that is set before us. If you are learning already, say amen. So you show me any believer who has paid the price in righteousness to know God experientially, to know himself or herself in light of who Christ is and his finished work, to know your place in destiny, living out your purpose with exactitude and intention, to understand the mysteries and the principles of the kingdom, the bodies of knowledge that are connected to manifesting dominion, and then understanding man as the zenith of God's creation, and then understanding Satan and his variety of strategies, knowing how to build a system of resistance against him, I show you an indomitable believer, one who I call, like I did during the conference, an apostolic believer, one who will walk perpetually in victory. Not theoretically, he will manifest the experience of victory. It is my prayer that all these definitions be personified and embodied in you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the name of the Lord. Right, so let's go to our teaching for tonight. Can you imagine that all that I was saying was obedience to, it was a revision, recap. I'm teaching tonight on seed time and harvest. I want to show you how to define your tomorrow. One of the mysteries of the kingdom, the Lord inspired my heart to teach this. And I pray in the name of Jesus that this teaching will impart upon your life forever. I want to walk in partnership with the Spirit of Grace to hand you over a key tonight that will help you define your tomorrow. It helps to take away the haziness and the mysticism around tomorrow. By reason of this teaching, you will see the predictability of your future, if and when you understand the laws of the Spirit, including the law of seed time and harvest. Glasgow, Abuja, Zaria, US, Canada. Let's pray together in the Spirit for 1 minute, asking the Lord for wisdom and asking him for understanding. Father, speak to me. Someone is praying, asking him for wisdom. I'm about to obtain the keys that helps me to define and redefine my future, to define and redefine my tomorrow. You are taking away the fear. You are taking away the haziness. You are taking away all of the concerns that I have as to what my tomorrow holds. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. We're going to look at two scriptures very quickly, and then I'll begin to teach. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22. While the earth remaineth, powerful scripture, we use it most times for offerings, but it has a deeper meaning beyond finances. While the earth remaineth, the Bible says, take note, while the earth remaineth. So if there's no earth, this law does not stand. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Now let's read it one more time in concert. Ready? One, two, go. While the earth remaineth, shall not cease. Galatians chapter 6, we'll read 7 to 9, second scripture. Galatians chapter 6, 7 to 9. I read verse 7 and 8. When I get to verse 9, let me request that you chorus it with me. 7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Are we still here? It says, for whatsoever a man soweth, that he shall also reap. Verse 7. For he that soweth to his flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Together now, verse 9. 1, 2, go. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name. Now for an introduction, let me remind you that the kingdom of God operates on laws and principles. You may want to write that down. The kingdom operates on laws and principles. Job chapter 38 and verse 33, NIV or NLT, it says, knowest thou the laws of the heavens? It says, can you set up God's dominion with those laws upon the earth? Do you know the laws of the heavens? There are laws that regulate the heavens. The dexterity we see in the heavens, the dexterity around creation is engineered by exact laws. Are we together? We have been able to discover some through science, through philosophy, psychology, and so on and so forth. Medicine, physics, chemistry, all of these fields of science have helped to piece together a few of these laws. Some of them are spiritual in origin, some of them are psychological, some of them are physical, and we've been able to put it together. And to the degree to which man has had a grasp of these laws, we've been able to drive what we call civilization. With the discovery of every law, it opened the door to a greater sense of civilization. I give you an instance. When we discovered the laws of aerodynamics, like the Wright brothers, purportedly, you know, accredited with the discovery of, you know, flights and all of that, that brought us into a whole new world. That instead of having to travel days, months, years, in a matter of hours, right now I think the farthest point from end to end in the earth is not more than a day and a half. If you have to stretch a single flight, that should be, I don't know if it's Africa to Australia or Europe to Australia, if I'm right on that. Praise the name of the Lord. I was once invited to an island called Vanuatu, and I said, let me see it in the map. I found out it was at the end of the earth, where you pass Australia in the middle of an endless sea, you just see a dot there. I said, that's where I'm going. What happens to me if network goes bad? What happens to me? I mean, that's literally the end of the earth. Once you are there, the only person who can answer you is God. Praise the name of the Lord. So Vanuatu, I'm, by God's grace, I will still come. When? I don't know. My coming is like the coming of Christ. You just keep being prepared, because I know there are people from there following, and so don't be discouraged by the grace of God. Jesus went to the other side, so I'm on my way coming the day God allows. But let me have your attention now. So the kingdom operates based on laws and principles. You have that down? We call them ordinances or operations. That is the modus operandi of the kingdom. Everything you see that happens in the kingdom is based on engaging spiritual laws. That includes sin, that includes the flesh, that includes the spirit life. For instance, we find in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Watch verse 2 carefully. It says, for the law. The word law there is not law like Old Testament. It's an ancient word for operation. The operation of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the operation of sin and death. Meaning, for a man to walk by sin and death, there is a law you have to engage. and that the spirit life also has its laws. And to the degree to which you walk in keeping with those laws, you will find yourself being cultured into the victorious spirit life. So everything in this kingdom operates by laws. And there are a number of these laws. The Bible clearly shows us a number of these laws. One of the most popular of all the laws is the law of faith. The law of faith. We know that faith is a law. Romans chapter 3 and verse 27. The law of faith. The law of faith. The law of faith. The Bible says, where then is our boasting? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? It says, nay, but by the law of faith. Four times in scripture, the Bible tells us the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Mark 11, 23, 24. Jesus was speaking and he said, if you say to this mountain, be ye removed, and you do not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you will have it. Verse 24 now says, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, you believe that you receive them and then you have them. So faith has a law. And to the degree to which you understand the law or the operation of faith, there are possibilities that will be captured in your life. So look at me, for instance. Let me use your imagination. Imagine two believers, one by my left, the other by my right, both saved. And for the one, he's ignorant as to the fact that there exists a law, an operation of faith. And to the other, he's been mentored into not only understanding the existence of that law, but he sustains the intelligence to engage that law for his profiting. Their possibilities will be very different, in as much as they are both saved. Are we together? For one, he knows, for instance, that we can look at the things that are unseen, that the things that are seen are temporal. So when he gets a medical report that is unfavorable, or when he loses his job, his attitude will be different because the law of faith is at work in him. He knows that within the economy of the spirit, there is intelligence enough, are we together, to change outcomes. That whatever is presented physical as it is, there is the possibility of maneuvering that outcome so that it produces glory. Now, the attitude of such a believer will be different from that of this one. Once you present a report and tell him you've lost your job, he says, I'm finished. Oh, you have this so-and-so medical report, he says, I'm finished. You see that their attitudes are different, because for the one, the understanding of just one law has been activated within him. He understands by the understanding of the law of faith that your words carry power. And so even though he's feeling pain, he will culture his speakings so as not to speak carelessly, because he's been educated into understanding that by your words you are condemned and by your words you are justified, and that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and that those who use it will eat its fruits thereof. Now, you can see just the knowledge of one law has altered the behavior of these two persons. For the one, he will speak carelessly, not knowing that the realm of the spirit is like a computer. When you type anything, even if it's by mistake, it is recorded there. The law of faith. How about another law? Let's say the law of unity. The Bible lets us know that law was used in Genesis 11. Satan was not mentioned, the Holy Ghost was not mentioned, but the moment a people became united, Genesis 11 you find that, Acts chapter 2 you find that, there are possibilities that are only captured when a people become united. No matter how informed, how powerful you are, as a single entity, there are limits to what you can do. Are we together now? Limits to what you can do. The Bible says two are better than one, for they have a good reward for their labor. Then it says a threefold cord cannot be easily broken. Even Jesus was speaking and he said a kingdom that, how did he put it now? A kingdom that divided against itself, he says it shall not stand. The law of unity is a very powerful law. That is one of the ways to bind the strong man in Jesus' teaching. To bind the strong man is not just by prayer to say, Satan, I bind you. We bind the strong man by breaking the bond of unity. For as long as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit remained united, Satan had no power over Jesus. There had to be that breaking away. That's why Jesus said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, why have you forsaken me? That bond of unity for the first time was broken, and Satan could have his way, but it was still the hidden wisdom of God. Are we together now? But for as long as that unity was in place, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost was ready to come, but there was a requisite condition of unity. The Bible says they were together with one accord, then the Holy Ghost could come. The arrival of the Holy Spirit did not just depend on prophecy, it depended on activating that law of unity. The Bible says, how good and how pleasant, Psalm 133, it is when brethren dwell together, not dwell around. Togetherness talks of the knitting of hearts. Together in unity, he likens it to the oil that comes down from the head of Aaron to his beard, to his skirt, to his garment. And then the Bible says, there the Lord had commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. The law of unity. Number three, the law of diligence. I'm giving you a few of the spiritual laws just to buttress on the fact that the kingdom operates on laws, does not work based on sentiments or emotions. The law of diligence. The Bible says a diligent hand shall be made fat. Are we together? It says, but the talk of the lips only ends in penury. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall not stand before mean men. The Bible says he shall stand before kings. Do you believe that? The Bible says a sluggard will not plow the land by reason of the cold, and in harvest he will beg. He will search for food and not find any. Diligence. There are many people, for instance, just neglecting the law of diligence. We call it in our world today productivity. Productivity. A lazy man has already prophesied upon himself. There is a certain prophetic word that must happen to a lazy man. Are we together now? The law of diligence. If you're with me and you're learning, shout amen. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. One final law, for instance, very popular one, the law of honor. And I'm happy that I'm speaking to a people who have been accustomed to a culture of honor. The law of honor. 1 Samuel chapter 2, that should be verse 30, I hope I'm right. 2 and verse 30, he spoke to Samuel. The latter part of the scripture says, for them that honor me, help me Glasgow, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. The law of honor. What is honor? The recognizing, the celebrating, and if need be, the rewarding of men for their distinctive uniqueness. It takes wisdom to practice honor. The awareness that someone sustains an advantage that may be foreign to your life or your experience, but needed in your life and your experience, and the capacity to invest in that uniqueness is called honor. Hallelujah. When you honor the Lord, for instance, that honor is derived from an understanding that there is only one God, there is only one Lord, there's only one Savior. Praise God. Honor. Now, for the purpose of our discussion tonight, I'm going to be talking about seed time, excuse me, seed time and harvest. It is a law that works, write this down, for as long as the earth remains. The law of seed time and harvest works for as long as the earth remains. If you wake up in the morning and your feet steps upon land, then know that this law is still in force. And ignoring that law will be you partnering with Satan to redefine a negative tomorrow. There are many people living in hope that tomorrow will be better than today, and in their minds, they are hoping that their government, with all due respect, will be the ones absolutely responsible for defining a better tomorrow. You ask the average person, even a believer, what makes you believe tomorrow will be better? They will tell you when so-so-so and so is elected, or when so-so-so party is elected, or when this person becomes a believer, are we together? Or when some technological discovery is made, then I will suddenly and magically have an exceptional tomorrow. But did you know that there are people who had a bad day since the 90s, they still have a bad day till today, with all the discoveries, the changes in government, because none of those factors, as powerful as they are, ultimately define your tomorrow. There is a law that God has given as a communication of his love and justice. By that law, every individual is given the sole responsibility of defining and shaping your prophetic destiny, even your tomorrow. Are we learning? Seed time and harvest. Now, right, what does this law state? What does it say? What exactly is the law of seed time and harvest? You would notice three words in one: seed, time, harvest. Here's what it says. Every outcome, please write if you're writing. I'm defining for you in a very simple way what the law of seed, time, and harvest states. Every outcome, every result, and every consequence in life is a programmed harvest. Every outcome, every result, every consequence in life is a programmed harvest. Meaning it is a resultant effect of certain seeds that have been sown over time. I'll read it one more time and I'll take it slowly because I want you to listen and then write. Here's what the law of seed, time, and harvest, based on the Bible's definition, says. Every outcome, underline outcome if you're writing, every result, underline result if you're writing, and every consequence, underline consequence if you're writing, in life is a programmed harvest. Please underline programmed harvest. You're underlining almost everything in that definition. It's a programmed harvest, a resultant effect of certain seeds that have been sown over time. You have that down? Thank you. Please let me have your attention now. This is what I'm saying. Please look up. As unfair, as haphazard, as unpredictable as life and harsh as life can seem to be to many, if I ask every one of you to pick the mic now, one after the other, and narrate for us your life experiences for the last 10 years, 20 years, are we together? We are going to have to pass around handkerchiefs and wipes because of the tears we'll shed here. Everyone will bring various versions of their painful experience. And I'm teaching you, based on the law of the Bible, the integrity of God's word, and the potency of this law, that the outcome in your life, the results that are currently your experience, the consequences, good or bad, are we together? As sincere and well-meaning as you can be, I am telling you, based on the potency of this law, that they are largely, if not almost entirely, a product of a programmed harvest. A harvest you programmed, knowingly or unknowingly. This is a very uncomfortable law, but you pay attention and allow me to open your eyes tonight. We're together, say amen. Programmed harvest. Programmed harvest. Apostle, are you telling me that my not having friends around me, in spite of the fact that I need friends so much, are you saying it's a programmed harvest? With all the love in my heart, yes, sir. Are you telling me that the repetitive patterns of failure that I saw in my family from my father passed down to me, I thought it was Satan? Well, it is your decision executed by Satan. Satan being an opportunist, he cashed in on your ignorance and is taking credit for it. Who is learning? How about my financial state? Apostle, I'm a wonderful person. I don't consider myself a bad person, but my finances has not been a very great thing. I am telling you that based on the integrity of scripture, the outcomes that you now see in your life, as uncomfortable as they are, this is a teaching that demands the preparedness to assume responsibility. If you're unwilling to assume responsibility, you will not like this teaching, because we live in a world that finds comfort in blaming others. Blaming government, blaming family, blaming your background. And don't get me wrong, there are many times your points are justifiable. But to the responsible believer who is ready to redefine your possibilities, to take charge of your prophetic destiny, you must be aware that there is such a law, and that for the most part of our lives, we have ignored this law and are now paying a dear price. Growth is a programmed harvest. Failure is a programmed harvest. Are we together now? Access to a life of defeat is a programmed harvest. Joy is a programmed harvest. Pain is a programmed harvest. Influence is a programmed harvest. Mediocrity is a programmed harvest. Poverty is a programmed harvest. Wealth and abundance is a programmed harvest. Do I still have your attention? Transformation is a programmed harvest. Ignorance is a programmed harvest. Victory is a programmed harvest. Dominion is a programmed harvest. Defeat is a programmed harvest. Salvation is a programmed harvest. Slavery is a programmed harvest. As far as the earth remains, seed time. Everyone, every inhabitant upon the earth is given an opportunity to demonstrate their interest in a glorious prophetic destiny, in defining and redefining an enviable tomorrow, or sitting back and hoping tomorrow will change on its own. No. Hallelujah. Are we learning now? I like to teach on laws because I have seen the potency of spiritual laws. Even in physics, like you may have heard me teach you one time, one of the laws of mechanics, if I remind you, for those who are science-based, it says that when an object is left in a static position, are we together now? It remains in that position for as long as it would stay, until it is compelled by an external force to act otherwise. In other words, if I live this year in this place, theoretically, it should remain here for forever. If at all it moves, there was a force greater than the force keeping it. Your destiny can be like this flower vase. It will remain in one spot. Hoping that things will change with time is a total waste of time. It's a mediocre way of comforting himself. Nothing changes with time. You will need to exert a force that is greater than the force keeping you down. Who is hearing me now? Your life will not change with time. No, sir. Your life will not change with a change in government. Not much. Your life will not change because of the attitude of those around you. The day you know how to exert an energy, a force in the spirit, through the word of God, that is greater than the force keeping you. Maybe mediocrity, maybe anger, maybe jealousy. Are we together now? That day, you will be ready to rise. Someone say, I'm rising. Prophesy, say, I'm rising. In the name of Jesus Christ. Pray in the spirit in 1 minute. I'm rising. I'm rising. I'm taking advantage of this law. I'm rising. Shapalika parantos kepatia shata. Rising by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Now please look at me. How many of you know and agree that by the mercies of God, Sound of Revival was a programmed harvest? God had an idea. He found men willing to write and run and execute that script with him. Do you agree with me? He found faithful workers. He found a people willing to give, willing to serve, willing to pray, willing to stretch themselves. And to the degree to which they understood that God had an intent in his mind, they traveled all the way. You traveled all the way. You came from your coming was an execution of that script. Today we call it a harvest and we rejoice, but the harvest was programmed. The seeds were programmed. You met them already there, meaning God expected you to come. The miracles were programmed by taking advantage of the mercy of God through prayer, through fasting, through agreeing, chain prayers, Lord, visit your people. Now, you see, the thing about men is that when we see exceptional things, we call it luck. Oh, the lady is lucky. Look at the employment. Many of you, I'm sure for those of you who were here on the Friday morning, look, the many miracles of appointments. Does that look like a coincidence? No. If science cannot explain it, it doesn't mean it is wrong. It just means it is higher than science. Is someone learning? Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So this law puts every believer in a place of responsibility, that if you continue to let your life, look up, please look up. I liken this law to a driver. How many of you have seen a driver driving a very heavy truck? Truck maybe carrying garbage or carrying some products. Did you know that as mighty as that truck is, or a ship, there's a small rudder that the captain uses to navigate the direction of the ship. Am I right on that? And whilst you can leave your plane on autopilot, it's very, very difficult. Now, electric cars are bringing that possibility. But just imagine there were no electric cars. Are we together? And now you are having to drive on the streets of London or Glasgow, anywhere. And then, as the driver, you refuse to put your hand on the steering. And you hope that you will arrive from your house or the factory. Look at all the detours. Look at all the twists and turns that are required. No matter how short your road is, there will be twists and turns. Are we together? And so imagine someone who has a healthy car, well-functioning car, healthy mind, but refuses to hold the wheel and to turn to the direction required. That person will most likely not arrive. And if you see such a person and he's not had accident yet, you can predict without prophesying that he will not arrive there. That's how many people are living their lives. So they sit on a very expensive prophetic word and not take advantage of the wheels. They do not know that the earth works based on the law of seed time and harvest. They are not programming outcomes. Now, let me tell you something you'll be learning. Let me go ahead of myself. If you do not program your outcome, there is a desperate adversary waiting to latch upon your carelessness, and he will help you program a future whose outcome you will see without actively participating in the programming. He's called Satan. It's one of the way he works. When he finds a man's destiny not being taken charge of by such a man, he now comes in and occupies the space you would have occupied and begin to spell out. You begin to sow seeds. Remember, while men slept. That means before they slept, he had his seeds. He was just waiting. He didn't buy the seed when they slept. He already had it. Waiting for them to sleep. And as soon as they slept, he now came and began to sow tares among the wheat. And guess what? His seeds are also fertile. The Bible testified that his seeds grow. You would think because you were Satan, the law is for everybody. His seeds of failure and defeat also grow. When I found this law, I made up my mind that I will never allow my destiny to be dictated by Satan, by circumstances, by emotions, and by sentiments. I made up my mind that I was going to take advantage of the Word of God, take advantage of the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the wisdom that is captured within the laws of the kingdom. And I will walk out my salvation with fear and trembling. Who is joining me in that move? That from today, while seated listening to me, now you are learning, some painfully so, some you are embarrassed to know that as you've been blaming God and Satan, you are learning now that neither of them is absolutely responsible for your state. You blamed everybody except the person who is really the culprit. Now you'll be ready to take responsibility and sit over the wheels of your destiny and begin to redefine your outcomes. Not by the strength of the flesh, but knowing that if it will ever happen well, you have to be part of it. And if it happens bad, you were part of it without knowing. At least your signature was there. seed time and harvest. Let's discuss further. For the purpose of our discussion, I want to X-ray a few elements that were captured in the scriptures we read earlier. We read Genesis 8:22 and we read Galatians chapter 6, 7 to 9. And I have pieced out five important elements that were found in that scripture that are the elements that tie together the whole subject of seed time and harvest. And it's my intent to help bring perspective to these elements and then show you the point of application. And then hopefully we get to pray. Are you ready? The law of seed time and harvest requires the knowledge of five elements, like components, if I would call it. There are five components that must be understood and engaged intelligently for this law to work. Component number one, please write. The sower. You have to understand who the sower is. I'll list for you the components, then I'll explain them. Are you learning tonight? Number one, the sower. You have to understand who the sower is. Else you will not understand the law of seed time and harvest. Number two, you have to understand the seeds. What are the seeds? Knowing that the seeds are potent, they produce. What are the seeds? Number three, you have to understand the soil. Not everything is called a soil. Soil. Number four, you have to understand the concept of harvest. You cannot reap if you do not understand the harvest. And then finally, the fifth and final component for our discussion, the reaper. Who is the reaper and how do we reap? One more time, the sower, the seed, the soil, the harvest, the reaper. Are you ready? Number one, let's look at the sower. According to scripture, the sower is anyone with a desire to see and experience an outcome on earth. He's called a sower. Anyone at all with a desire to see and experience any outcome, spiritual outcome, career outcome, family life outcome, health outcome. Are we together? The moment you have a desire within your heart to see something come to pass as it pertains your life, your career, your endeavor, you are called by the Bible definition a sower. Say, I am a sower. One more time. Anyone with a desire to see and experience an outcome on the earth is called a sower. Another definition. Anyone with the ability to think, to speak, and to act is called a sower. Anyone at all with the ability to think, if you can think, if you can speak, and if you can act, whether you utilize that role or not, you are called the sower. By this definition, you see that there's no one who is spared out of this list. Once you can think, once you can speak, once you can act, and once you sustain the ability to desire an outcome, you are a sower. My goodness. The first sower in the Bible is God himself. With a desire, a plan, a blueprint. Another point of reference is God being able to see, able to speak, able to act. Once you have a desire and you can see, you can speak, you can act, the Bible calls you a sower. Genesis 2 and verse 8, God being a sower, and God planted a garden himself in Eden. He put man in the garden he had formed. Can you imagine that? Luke chapter 8 and verse 5, revealing God as a sower. The Bible says a sower went out to sow his seed. And according to the interpretation of that scripture, the seed itself is the word of God. God being the sower himself. Jesus gave that parable. Who else is a sower? Man. Man. Man is a sower. Matthew 13, 31. Let's hurry up. Matthew 13 and verse 31. Matthew 13 and verse 31. Then of course, Galatians, he said, another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of God is like unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed. Who did the sowing? A man. A man. Galatians 6 and verse 7, we read that earlier, talks about men having the ability to sow. Who else is a sower? Satan. Matthew chapter 13, 24 and 25. Satan is also a sower. So we see that God is a sower, man is a sower, Satan is a sower. The Bible says the kingdom of heaven is likened like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Read with me verse 25. Ready? One, two, go. But while men slept, his enemy, being a sower, came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. When it has to do with the business of sowing, ladies and gentlemen, God is called a sower. Men are called sowers. Satan himself, alongside every demonic spirit, also qualified to be called sowers. No one is exempted from the possibility of sowing seed. Again, say, I am a sower. Your tomorrow is hearing you with joy because you are about to program something that brings glory to the name of the Lord. Shout it, say, I am a sower. I may have been careless over my role, my garden, and my seeds yesteryears and even tomorrow. But by this teaching, I'm ready to take charge of my destiny in righteousness and act as a sower. One last time, shout, I am a sower. Meaning that I'm about sowing seeds, all kinds of seeds, profitable seeds, seeds that bring the anointing, seeds that bring favor, seeds that bring lifting, seeds that open doors. Are we together now? One last time, I'm a sower. Number two, the second component we're looking at very quickly is the seed. What is the seed based on the Bible's definition? Write this down. Anything that can schedule a season of harvest is called a seed. Anything. Once it can schedule a season of harvest, it is called a seed. Anything that can schedule a season of harvest. An example, words. An example, thoughts. An example, actions. In fact, even men are seeds. Men are both sowers, but men can be seeds. The Bible says they shall be called the planting of the Lord. So he planted them as seeds. Is it in your Bible? They that be planted in the house of God, they like trees shall flourish in the house of our God. Men can be seeds. Thoughts can be seeds. As a man thinketh in his heart. You see that now? That your thoughts are seeds. Your words are seeds. Your imaginations are seeds. Your actions are seeds. Men can be seeds. In fact, Galatians 6 and verse 7 says, whatsoever a man sows, it gives a generic description. Anything that has potential of producing an outcome, it's a seed. Wickedness is a seed. Kindness is a seed. Please listen. Diligence is a seed. Consecration is a seed. A rich prayer life is a seed. Fasting is a seed. Bible study is a seed. Laziness is a seed. Anger is a seed. Hatred is a seed. Jealousy is a seed. So when you find your farm full of a harvest of the effects of jealousy, don't say, where did they come from? You sowed it every day in your sleep, in your imaginations, in your discussions. Those were the seeds, and the realm of the spirit respected the seeds and insisted that they grow. For someone, you are in this place right now and you've been sowing a seed of diligence in the spirit, praying every day, quietly so. Fasting often, quietly so. Studying the word, quietly so. I can tell you without prophesying to you, you are already designing a tomorrow that will carry the glory of God. Because the Bible says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. God cannot be mocked. Some of you traveled from everywhere, shelved your schedules to be here at Sound of Revival and at this morning service. Did you know your coming to church is a seed? I told you your actions are also seeds. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go, let us go, let us go to the house of the Lord. There are many things you find in the house of God. One of them is understanding. When I came into your sanctuary, then understood I. Diligence is a seed. Your attention is a seed. He says, my son, pay attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from out of your mouth. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Your Bible says they are life to those who find them and health to their flesh. Actions are seeds. Your prayer, they are seeds. Your giving, they are seeds. Your loving, they are seeds. My dear workers, your service, they are seeds. Can I say that again? They are seeds. The beautiful thing about seeds is that when the time of harvest comes, your children can join you in the harvest. Your grandchildren can join you in the harvest. Agriculture teaches us that there are plants that when you plant once, like mango, like orange, it doesn't yield only once. It yields per season. So even when you are not there, the tree remains. And your children and your children's children, your children's children. Are we together? For some of you, the sacrifices you are making now, you will not really benefit so much of it, but those coming after you will thank God forever for your life, for loving Jesus, for serving Jesus, for living for Jesus. It's for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted. All I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted. All I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted. You are sowing seeds. You're coming to the house of the Lord. Seeds. Hallelujah. Everything that can schedule a harvest. Some of you have given to this conference. You give every day, give every other time. There are seeds. I'm telling you by the integrity of scripture, a harvest does not come overnight, but it comes. Only a foolish farmer will plant a seed today, and by the morrow he comes looking at the soil, digging to find where the harvest is. You are patient. It is seed, time, and harvest. And for some of you, that time, you say, after 4 months, then comes the harvest. Some of you are entering your 4th month prophetically because you've sown seeds. I sense in my spirit that I'm speaking to someone. You are entering your 4th month, and I'm speaking to you by the Spirit of God. I'm not talking of 4 calendar months, 4 prophetic months, 4 spiritual months. Are we together now? And for someone, look at me. I'll be teaching you the soil. For someone, your seed is not external. It was sown inside you. Like a woman pregnant. And you finish your 1st trimester in the spirit, going through all the constraints. The 2nd trimester, I come by the spirit of a midwife, because I see the formation of one ready to give birth to a prophetic destiny, give birth to an anointing, give birth to a call, give birth to a ministry. And in the name of Jesus, in the name that is above all names, I pray for you. Everyone who has carried your seed for 9 months in the spirit, praying and travailing, sowing, giving, loving, serving, crying, fasting, I decree and declare, in the name of Jesus, let this be your season of the harvest. 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 I pray for a man of God. Before this conference is over, the mantle you have been sowing for, you have been praying for, you have been fasting for, you've been laboring for, honoring other vessels for, from heaven, let it land upon your head. In the name of Jesus. Please be seated. Number three, the third component in understanding and engaging the law of seed time and harvest, the third component is the soil. We've spoken about the sower. The sower is anyone with a desire to see an outcome in your life and your destiny. The sower is anyone who can think, anyone who can speak, anyone who can act. Now we said the seeds talk about anything with potential for multiplication, sustaining the ability to replicate itself. Your thoughts, your words, your actions, men. Three, soil. What is the soil based on the Bible's definition? Primarily, the soil talks about the heart of men. The soil also talks about the mind. Any platform that can allow a seed to grow is called the soil. Please write that down. Any platform. The house of God is a soil. A ministry is a soil. Your mind is a soil. Your heart is a soil. Who is learning now? The house of God, they that be planted in the house of God. The soil talks about the hearts of men. The soil talks about the mind. The soil talks about the house of God. Any platform that can allow seeds to grow. Let me tell you this. Look at me, ladies and gentlemen. The soil also talks about your hearing. Your hearing is a platform for seeds to grow. The Bible says, be careful what you hear and to be careful how you hear. Satan sowed the seeds in the hearing of Eve, and that seed grew so fast, corrupted her motive and brought them down. When God came walking in the cool of the day and said, Adam, where art thou? He said, I heard your voice, but I hid because I was naked. And he said, who told you? You gave ear to a seed. Words were spoken to your ears. There are many of you today, the reason why you've not been great is because someone sowed a seed and you deposited the soil of your hearing, and you heard that you were a failure. Like father, like son, like mother, like daughter. You began to hear all kinds of nonsense from social media and you embrace it. But in the name of Jesus, I'm here by the power of the Holy Spirit to re-engineer your hearing. That every information that is inconsistent with the power of God, the speakings of God, allowing you to plant wrong seeds, we cancel that platform right now. We cancel that seed right now. We purify your soil in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. According to scripture, even for soils that yield, they yield three kinds of harvest. Is it still in your Bible? 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. It is my personal determination that everything that represents a soil in my life must yield 100-fold. We have advancement in genetics today, attempting to make crops yield at their maximum strength. Am I right on that? You can apply that principle. If you can doctor a seed and make it very viable such that it produces a bumper harvest, you can do the same to your hearing. You can do the same to your heart. I'll give you an example. Purify my heart. The prayer that God purifies your heart is saying, Lord, let the soil of my heart be so viable, be so potent, that when the word of God drops there, there's no offense to corrupt the growth. When the word of God drops there, there's no flesh. I hope you know that the flesh itself is a soil. The spirit itself is a soil. You can have good seed, like it was in the parable of the sower, but the good seed fell on different kinds of ground. Thorny grounds, are we together? Stony ground, by the wayside. Even though the seed was viable, potent, it didn't produce results. The soil matters. Heart. Tell you to destroy the soil of your heart. Offense, bitterness, anger, hatred, all of these works of the flesh. You know what they do? They do the same thing parasites and all of these things do to the soil. They reduce the strength, its ability to yield. the soil. Who is learning tonight? You want to practice the law of seed time and harvest, you must understand the soil, the hearts of men. Everything is a soil. Can I tell you something? The air is also a soil. As you speak, it looks like you are just speaking to the air, but this air you see is a spiritual phenomenon. It is a means of transport. It takes things from where you spoke them to the place of delivery. The air, just like land, is a universal point of contact. The air you are breathing, you are not the first to breathe it. It's gone through the lungs of several people to arrive to you. It's a universal point of contact. It passed through your destiny helper before coming to you. It's a point of you can speak wherever my helper is. In the name of Jesus, provided they are alive and breathing, they will hear the word of the Lord in the name that is above all names. The same way the earth is a universal point of contact. Everyone who is alive, I know that the earth is round, but everybody's feet, I don't care the shape, everybody's feet is pounding upon the earth. Do you believe what you are learning? It's a very powerful mystery in the spirit. The air. Satan is called the prince of the power of the air. When you send a text, do you see the words? You just press send. Physics gives us all kinds of definitions, and in a moment, you notice as it leaves your phone through the airwaves, the electromagnetic waves, in the fraction of a second, it beeps the phone of not everybody because there is a number connected to it. That's how words are. The only thing is that you don't dial +44 +1. No, in the name of Jesus, I decree and declare, wherever my helpers are, wherever my lifters are, wherever my blessers are, I'm dialing numbers in the spirit. I'm programming my outcome, and it will go faster than light, faster than sound, and get into the ear, the soil of my helper. He may not act immediately, but the words are spirit and life. They got into the heart of my helper. They will gravitate helpers to me. Believe what I'm telling you. Let me teach you something. When we were preparing to come to UK, I remember taking a day to fast. And I wrote down all the departments that we need to have, because there was nobody and there's no guarantee. How do you call people and say, come and become part of a vision and come and become workers? You think they don't know what to do with their time? But by the law of seed time and harvest, in the name of Jesus, where are the worshippers? Koinonia worshippers. You have spirits, you have soils. I have a seed. The power of God can take it where you are. Whether you are in Birmingham, whether you are in Kent, Milton Keynes, you are in London, wherever you are, by the power of the Holy Spirit, provided you've been assigned by God to be part of this mandate, I send that seed to the soil of your heart, the soil of your mind, the soil of your spirit. Listen, if you understand what I'm saying, you will program your tomorrow. Yes, sir. Alanto salika paradusiata, grate melege barakusiata. All the venues that will be used for sound of revival, I send words. I send words through the airwaves from Africa to Europe, from Africa to Britain, from Africa everywhere, in the name of Jesus Christ. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we have a unique gift that was given to us by God that if we do not take advantage of, we are not going to live glorious lives. When all the publicity is done for Sound of Revival, we don't just depend on posters and bills. Thank God for all of that. We do our due diligence. But when all is said and done, you go back to the central control room. You have seeds. Every heart is a soil. In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare, let them come by the Spirit of God. Let the seed of revival fall upon their ears, fall upon their spirits, fall upon their minds. Hallelujah. Please be seated. The soil is very powerful. Everyone who is alive has within him components that can be called a soil. Whoever can hear has potential for a seed to be sown there. It's the reason why transformation is a possibility. It doesn't matter what state you are, come. Once that word comes, just give me your attention. That's all I need. Even if you are not passionate, just give me your attention. The seed that I'm giving you is divinely, genetically modified. I use that word. Are we together now? By the intelligence of God. I don't care how stubborn you are. Just please listen to me. That's all I want. Whether you believe it or not, it's not the issue. Just give me. I'm not looking at your face. I'm looking at the hearing because I know it's a soil. If this seed rests there, you will not rest. You can argue and go. It's been done. It's like COVID. You've been contacted already. You can argue and say, okay, I don't like that. You go. Save Johnny. You will see the power of the incorruptible seed. It will haunt you for days, haunt you for months until you change. It will plant passion in you. It's a truth. It's a seed engineered by wisdom, engineered by power. Yours is to receive it. The day a woman gets pregnant is not the day she knows she's pregnant. Am I right on that? Takes at least a month or more. Some even wait 3-4 months before they are aware. That's how it is. Something is happening to you right now because you came here lending me your attention, and I'm telling you the spirit of grace is transferring things like from a computer, transferring things to your spirit. Let me list some of the things: favor, wisdom, power, grace. I tell you by the Spirit of God, you may not see it, it may not appear, but you just know that this law is working right now. And for those who are following Abuja, I want you to know there is a transparency. Even if you don't fully understand what I'm saying, allow the seed to rest. Let your hearing be the soil. Let your heart be the soil. Let your mind be the soil. And you watch what the power of God can do when it finds the soil that can allow it grow. Please be seated. If you're a pastor here, let me encourage you. When you are teaching, don't mind the faces of members. It will look like they are not learning. Focus on what I taught you. You are transferring seeds beyond information. For a while, they will leave the church confused and you'll be discouraged. I prepared my notes together. Does it mean they are not hearing? No. No, they are receiving it. Now you see why the Bible said, train up a child. The child may not understand, but you are sowing seeds. That mind is receiving seeds. Later on, the child will decide to rebel, find peace. The seed is there. That seed will haunt. The prodigal son did something to the child. That's why the father was not in a hurry to look for the child. He knew he would come back, not under the training that he grew up in. He knew the child would come back. One day, when the child had exhausted all the inferior seeds, there was one that was within him. He said, how many hired servants? No, the seed began to speak. Let me tell you the truth. Hear me. I believe that was the seed Mordecai was sending at the gate. Lord, I should not be in this condition. I will not fight my way. But I know you will help me. I helped the king and I was not rewarded. There's nobody to speak. But while the king was sleeping, Mordecai will be speaking. I send the seeds through the airwaves to the heart of the king. Your Bible says one night, koinonia. The king went to bed and he said, why am I not able to sleep? The seed is walking upon his heart. While the earth remains, seed time. The time had fully come. Seeds were sold. The man could not sleep. He got up and he said, you know what? To tell you that it was not just what they call it, sleep apnea. He said, bring me the chronicles. My anxiety is connected to that book. Bring it. Someone helped me there and has not been rewarded. I'm sensing that's the reason why I cannot sleep, because the seed was growing. Listen, Before we continue, let me speak. I feel stirred in my heart to speak particularly to a parent whose child is going haywire, wayward, and you gave your best. You taught them the Bible. They prayed, and now it looks like another company has carried your child. In the name of Jesus, we reactivate that seed. We reactivate that seed that was sown 20 years ago. The seed of diligence, the seed of godliness, the seed of discipline. And I declare that one of these days, like the prodigal son, you will see your child coming back home, back to his mind, back to order, in the name of Jesus Christ. So well. Please be seated. Now look at me, ladies and gentlemen. This is my phone. Every time you see a notification beep on your phone by my teaching tonight, just know that somebody wants to sow. They are not just informing you about a movie. They are not just informing you about... It's not an email. It's not a WhatsApp message. It is a seed. Once you see a notification beep, just know that someone wants to participate with your destiny. And it's up to you. Create a two-factor password before you allow it get in. Is this potent enough to enter my tomorrow? Do I delete it or do I allow it jump into my tomorrow? Who is learning now? That you don't sit down and by every beep, every notification, you find out what it is and you are swallowed into something you may not recover from. That's how people got into addictions. They thought it was an image or a movie. They never knew that it was a seed. As soon as that seed got into your mind, it latched onto you, and now you're a victim of pornography, a victim of masturbation. Doesn't mean you're an evil person. You just donated the soil of your mind to a wicked seed that was engineered by Satan. Tonight I come with another seed. A seed higher, greater. It's called the seed of the Word of God. Every planting that is not of my God, every planting that is not of my Father, I decree and declare, in the name that is above all names, I come by the Spirit of grace. I weed out every negative seed from your mind, every negative seed from your heart, every negative seed from your conscience, every negative seed from your hearing, in the name of Jesus. Please be seated. The soil. Next, the first element is the sower, then the seed, then the soil. The fourth element is the harvest. Now please pay attention. When the sower is right, the seed is right, the soil is right, the next thing to expect is the harvest. But if you do not know and understand the dynamics of the harvest, you can waste a harvest that went well, but you did not know how to reap. I want to show you what the Bible means by the harvest. Write this down. Every consequence that follows your sowing is called a harvest. Every consequence. What is the consequence? For some, it can be a vibrant spiritual life. What is the consequence? For someone, it can be favor, because you prayed favor-provoking prayers. I'm sensing an anointing. I'm sensing a strong anointing. As I just said, favor-provoking prayers. I just sense in my heart that there are people. I'm going to pray for everybody, but the Lord is telling me there are people. You are in a season where the door that is standing before you, only favor can open it. And in the name of Jesus, I come as a carrier of this grace. And from the depth of my heart, I pray for you. May God, by this prayer, start handing keys. Receive the keys. You are receiving keys in the spirit. Keys of favor. They will open strange doors. Some of you, before this night is ended, mysteriously, you will open, help them, strange doors. those doors will be open. Career doors. Knocking on the doors of helpers. Favor will open the doors for you. In the name of Jesus. Please be seated. The harvest talks of outcomes. Outcomes. The harvest talks about results. The harvest talks about the end of all things. The end of anything, it is harvest. So look at me for instance. When a student goes to school, all that you are doing in school is sowing. Are we together? At the end of your program, what you get is your harvest. When you read a book, you are sowing. The knowledge you get at the end of that journey is your harvest. So the harvest talks of consequences, talks of outcomes, talks of the end point, the end product of things. Show me someone who is investing every day praying in the spirit, doing that for a few months, for a year, for a few years. The spiritual vibrancy, the anointing, the grace that comes upon such a life in honor to that routine, that ritual of spiritual exercise is what you call the harvest. A harvest can be good or bad. Unfortunately, you can sow to the flesh, and the Bible says if you do sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. Is a harvest. You know what corruption means? Corruption does not mean bribery. Corruption means decline, decay. A man can degenerate as a programmed harvest. You were once a vibrant believer, but prayerlessness was the seed you sowed. Not desiring the things of God was a seed you sowed. Hating church was a seed you sowed. The harvest is that your spiritual life goes down. The harvest is that your life comes under intense attack.
Oh, victory has come. Oh, victory has come. Oh, my time has come. Oh, my time has come. Oh, my harvest has come. Oh,
let's go to the reaper. Who is the reaper? And how do we reap in the kingdom? Hear me. Please look at me. There is no harvest until there is first a sower. Walk with me tonight. There is first the seed properly sown. There is first the soil to receive the seed. When the sower is right, the seed is right, the soil is right, you don't pray for a harvest. No, it's been programmed to happen. The jealousy of God and the integrity of God is behind that equation. What you pray for is the grace to sow. Let me tell you the correct way to pray for a harvest. You don't pray for a harvest by praying for a harvest. You pray for a harvest by praying to be a good sower, by praying to have precious seeds, and by praying for the grace to sow, whether it is comfortable or not. That's the way you pray for a harvest. To pray for a harvest by saying, oh God, bring me a harvest, is not a wise believer's prayer, because a harvest is a process. Who is learning tonight? So for instance, when you pray and say, Father, make me rich, it's a sincere prayer, but it's not a very intelligent prayer, because that state is a reaction. Make me a sower. A sower is one who has a desire that has been purified. Are we together? Grant me seeds. The seed is the word of God. The seed is quality word compliant knowledge that comes by buying the truth. You buy the truth with humility. You buy the truth with diligence. You buy the truth with meekness. Then you sow. The soil being your hearing. The soil being your heart. Are we together? The soil being your actions. I'm speaking, for instance, using finances as a case study. Your giving, your diligence. These are the actions that support your sowing. You don't have to pray for a harvest. is programmed. Are we together now? When you pray and say, Father, give me an exceptional marriage, it's a sincere prayer, but classically speaking, an exceptional marriage is a harvest. You have to pray, Lord, let me be a sower and marry a sower. Because if you are the only one sowing and the other person is not sowing, something is going to happen to that equation. Are we together? The sower of kindness, the sower of love, one who has a desire to build a family that brings glory to the name of the Lord. Then the seeds. The seed talks about your mentality. The seed talks about your orientation. If one person is like God and another person is like Lucifer, there's going to be a spark in that marriage. The same way there's an electric spark. Who is learning? Can two walk together except they agree? Are we together now? So you are praying, you are sowing seeds. Seeds of kindness, seeds of love, seeds of honor, seeds of diligence. Are we together? Seeds of productivity, seeds of contentment, seeds of diligence. And then you go to the next phase, the actual sowing, your soil. You make up your mind as a woman, you are going to mind those who talk to you. You won't listen to defeated people transfer their pain as a mindset. And as a man, you don't listen to arrogant people who are not ready to bend down and make their home work. Those are wrong soils. When you hear well, the sower, the seed, the soil, you can be sure we will reap in due season if we faint not. Someone say, my harvest comes. Shout it like you are receiving. Say, my harvest comes. Listen, we are soon to stand up and pray. And when it's time for us to pray, I will prompt you. You know what we're going to do? There's what we call weeding the farm. Because some of you, the kind of harvest that is waiting for you now, from the lens of what you are learning now, is not the kind of harvest you want to see. Huh? So by the mercy of God, we're going to come in as the reapers. And we're going to be weeding in the place of prayer. Lord, I sowed seeds of wickedness yesterday. Kill it before it grows. I'm coming as a farmer. I hated this person. I've been sowing hatred. Unknown to me, I'm programming something my children will eat from because it's a law. As long as the earth remains, I obtain grace. You carry the axe of the word. And for some of you, where it has become a tree, you cut down that tree and then plant another one. Are you getting blessed tonight? Let me talk about the reaper. So that from tonight, you can know, not necessarily by prophecy, that I have a glorious tomorrow. And you see the mystery, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you understand better now. Those who do not have this kind of orientation, you see why it is not completely wise to blame God or blame men. In light of what you know now, you are not a sower, you did not respect seeds, you did not respect soils, and now Satan did the planting for you, and you are seeing a bumper harvest full of pain, regret, misery. And most believers will not own up to say, I take responsibility. I was not mentored into understanding that the outcomes of my life depend on my understanding and engaging this law. Seed time, harvest. When Jesus wanted to die, he didn't go around saying, God, you better save these people. He knew that the victory was a reaction, and he kept praying for strength. The Bible says early in the morning he will get up to pray. He was not just praying to heal the sick, he was already the word. He was building stamina for the days of his passion. And when those days came, he passed through them painfully but valiantly. Until he died, he resurrected, and then he gave us redemption. Are we learning? Let's talk about the reaper. Pray in the spirit for 1 minute. 1 minute. Everyone, you're praying. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. There are three people according to scripture that qualify to be called reapers. Sowers, seeds, soil, harvest, reapers. Number one, God himself is a reaper because he plants. God did not just plant, he still plants. Men are called the planting of the Lord, and he expects to reap. He expects to reap. Number two, man, Let's save time. Man is called a reaper. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 38. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 38. It says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into his harvest. He would send laborers. He called them laborers into the harvest. Number three, angels are also called reapers. This one is particularly with respect to soul winning, but it also applies to every aspect of our lives, because angels can help men in the business of reaping. I'll give you an example. When the church began to pray in Acts chapter 12, that was a seed. Am I right on that? The Bible says Peter was bound, hand in glove. There were soldiers stopping him. They were planning to kill him after the Passover. But the Bible says from verse 5 and 6, it says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer as a seed was made by the church without ceasing to God for him. And when it was time for the harvest, the angels came to help reap. It was the angel that came to deliver that harvest. And Peter saw the fruit of that harvest. They prayed and the angels came. They prayed and the angels came. One of these days, the angels of the Lord will be around the corridors of someone's life. It will tell you that there is a harvest, and that harvest is too big for you to reap alone. So God will send reaper angels. They will come and begin to reap favor. They will come and begin to reap goodness, reap mercy. I prophesy it upon your life in the name of Jesus Christ. God is a reaper. Men are reapers. Look at me. There is only one person according to scripture who does not reap. You know why? Because no matter what he calls harvest, God can do something about it. When Satan sows, the Bible tells us that when it is time for harvest, it is not Satan that comes to reap what he sowed. When God wants to show mercy, he will participate in both what Satan sowed. Are we seeing that now? And what he sowed. He will first gather the tears and burn it. That means Satan has no harvest. No matter what he sows, in Christ, hear me, the moment you come into Christ, sorry for him, he's not going to reap anything, because God will send angels. It's in your Bible. The reaping of what he sowed was not done by him or demon spirits. He said, let them grow. I'm seeing that Satan sowed something there. He sowed cancer. He sowed some blood disease. But I'm about to come in. I will gather it. You call it a miracle service. That's God gathering the harvest to burn it once and for all, so that he will allow only the planting of the Lord to thrive. And in the name of Jesus, every tree that has not been planted by my Father, sickness in your body, trouble in your home, trouble on your job, trouble on your finances, this one last service before we return, I decree and declare, let it be uprooted now. 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 In the name of Jesus, let it be uprooted now. By the power of the Holy Spirit, let it be uprooted now. In the name of Jesus, let it be uprooted now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Please sit down. Let me give you the last key. How do you gather your harvest? Three keys. And then we begin to pray. My hand is burning. I know that God wants to do something here. Three keys. Number one, the first way to gather your harvest. I'm reaping the harvest God promised me. Take back what the devil stole, and I rejoice today. For I shall recover it all. Yes, I rejoice today. Hallelujah. Number one, the first way you gather your harvest is by speaking. Your declarations and your words is how you sow, and it's also how you reap. Words are very powerful because they can be used as seeds and they can be used as sickles. Write that down. Words can be used as both seeds and sickles. You gather your harvest by speaking. Let me tell you how we gather the harvest. In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare, every word God has spoken concerning me, let it come to me. I'm gathering my harvest. I'm not just sowing. I'm gathering the harvest for yesterday's seeds. I'm planting today's seeds for tomorrow. Words. Words. When you begin to make faith-filled declarations, you are not only sowing, you are also gathering your harvest. Are we together now? Very powerful. In Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 7, let me show you how words create a harvest. The valley was full of dry bones, and he said, "Son of man, what outcome do you desire to see? Can these bones be restored? Can they live again?" He said, "Only thou knowest." And he told him, "Prophesy." In other words, speak. And he said, "I prophesied as I was commanded." Watch how a harvest happens. "And as I prophesied," not before, not when I wanted to, not when I wished, as I used words as a sickle, not a seed, a sickle, there was a noise and behold a shaking. Talk to me, what came together? I thought you would say finances came together. I thought you would say your home came together. I hope you know the bones were scattered. Just because you cannot see them does not mean they are not there. They are all in that valley. That valley is UK. Is there. Your job is there. Your helper is there. It's your words that gather the harvest together. Listen, listen. God did not give you the burden of going to various places to dig and find out where the bones are. You cannot see it, but the bones are complete. Everything is complete. Scattered across various locations, only known by the wisdom of God. Let me tell you how to gather. In the name of Jesus, favor wherever you are. I don't know whether you are in Birmingham. I don't know whether you are in the US. And I'm not going to limit God's power by pegging Kent to be where my favor comes from, whereas God intends for it to come from Dubai. So I will allow the force that can gather things and gather people. Are we together? I prophesied as I was commanded, and the Bible says the bones, I like this, it says the bones came together. Read the last sentence. It said bone to his bone, bone to his bone, bone to his bone. As scattered as your marriage is, you have prayed and sown seeds. It's time to turn your words from seeds to sickles. Your harvest has been waiting for you. You just don't know how to gather. You know how to sow, but you need to know how to reap. Did you hear what I said? There are many believers who know how to sow. Listen, unknown to them, they are still moving in pain, whereas their words have already created an orchard of possibilities, but they don't know how to use words as a sickle. As a sickle. Where are my helpers, oh Lord? Let them come. Let them come. I call them forth. They meet me in the aircraft. They meet me when I go out. In the name of Jesus, divine coincidences. I call by the Spirit of the Living God. All those who should be part of this company, you are praying now. You are gathering your harvest. Gathering your harvest. Gathering your harvest. Number one, we gather harvest by speaking, declaring, making faith-filled declarations. Number two, are you ready? The second way we gather our harvest in the process of reaping is to engage the mystery of praise. Let me tell you this. Praise is one way we gather our harvest. Let the people praise thee, O God. Then the earth shall yield its increase. Praise. Praise. You lock yourself and having sown seeds, you begin to dance and rejoice like a madman. It doesn't make sense. Are we together now? But your harvest begins to file its way to you. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. Can I tell you? You have cried over every situation. Why don't you try praise? Why don't you try praise? I know you lost money. Try praise. I know you lost a loved one, try praise. You lost your job, I know your papers are delaying, try praise. Instead of complaining, insulting, cursing, try praise. Someone say praise.
Praise,
praise with understanding. Hallelujah. Number three. The third way we engage is thanksgiving. Luke 9:16. Thanksgiving. 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 Let me show you what thanksgiving does. Jesus is about to multiply 5 loaves and 2 fish. So with it to feed 5,000 people aside, women and children. And of all the strategies for gathering a harvest that was unseen to the people, here's what he used. The Bible says he took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and looking up to heaven, talk to me, he blessed them and broke them. One of the versions will say he gave thanks. So we bless things to work by giving thanks. It's not only saying you are blessed that blesses. When you say thank you are blessing whatever it is that you have. You take your 1,000 pounds and say, Father, thank you that I have one. It's not enough to give me a home. It's not enough to give me what I want, but I am grateful enough to say thank you. And you are blessing by that act of thanksgiving. You are blessing your bread. You are blessing your fish to multiply. And there are many ways God can multiply it. I'm telling you, there are times that you will multiply it supernaturally and you cast your net to the right side. You find out that you have a catch. There are times you will say, go and begin to use what you have. While you use it, will not be spent. Like the widow in Zarephath. The morsel of bread, the oil and the water will not be spent. All through the time of famine, that's what they lived upon. Thanksgiving. You must live a thankful life. Koinonia, listen to me. I live a thankful life. God is my witness. I have not found reason to complain before God. And it's not because of what he's doing now. I maintain a culture and a discipline of thanksgiving. Next time you hear something that is bad, realize that that information, you can turn it to become an advantage or it can destroy you. It depends on how you respond. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. With tears rolling from your eyes, you are still saying thank you. Lord, I thank you. This is an unpleasant thing. I've been told the cancer is stage 4, meaning I can lose my mother. And here's what Satan says, curse God and die. That was what he told Job's wife to say. Curse God and die. Do this and that. And he said, Lord, I give you praise. It's my desire for her to live. But if for any reason she's going to die, Lord, I'm praying in the name that is above all names, let it be that she's died in Christ. Grant me the grace and the strength. It may not make sense what you are saying, but you are using thanksgiving as a weapon. Thanksgiving. Let me tell you where else Jesus used thanksgiving to gather his harvest. In John chapter 11, standing before Lazarus, a man who had died for 3 days. Do you stand before that kind of tragic situation with angry people around? Do you give thanks? No, sir. I like the fact that it was not just the issue of bread where Jesus gave thanks. He stood before Lazarus' tomb. He said, you know what? Roll away the stone. And the sister said, no, if you had been here, Lazarus would have resurrected. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. And he said, Father, I thank thee. Someone lift your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. Abuja, say, thank you, Jesus. Zaria, thank you, Jesus. 1 minute, lift your hands. Thank you, Jesus. May not make sense, but you are thanking him. He lifted up his hands, give us verse 40, and said, thank you. Thank you. Look for it for me. Where did he say thank you? Lifted his hands. And he said, thank you. I know that you hear me, but for their sake, so that they may know. God bless you, 41. He lifted up his hands and he said, I thank you. Someone say, Lord, I thank you. You are receiving your harvest. Say it. Begin to mention the various things you are thanking him for. It may be unpleasant, but say thank you. My son is yet to be healed of autism, but thank you, I have a son. My home seems to almost tear apart, but thank you, you've given me the privilege to be a wife and a mother. Come on, someone who is grateful, lift your hands and begin to use thanksgiving as a sickle to gather your harvest. Shabalaka parakosyata. Thank you for my finances so far. Thank you for helping me love you. I've not seen the results yet, but I'm grateful that I love you. I'm grateful that I'm hearing the truth. Go ahead, someone, you are praying. I don't have a husband yet, but thank you that I'm godly enough to have a husband. I don't have a wife yet, but thank you that I'm godly enough to have a wife. Someone, go ahead and pray. Don't complain about what you do not have. Just give him thanks. If there's nothing to thank him for Sound of Revival, for Thursday night, for Friday morning, for Friday night. Nigeria, are you thanking him? Ghana, are you thanking him? Zimbabwe, Zambia, UK, America, South Africa, India, China. Let's lift up sounds of thanksgiving for the next 1 minute. It's a mystery in the spirit. You're combining praise and thanksgiving as a sickle. As far as the earth remains, seed time. Thank him for Koinonia UK. Look what he's done. Within the time we've come here, the mighty hand of God. Give him all the praise. Shabalaka paradosia. Thank him for your health, that you are alive. A dead man does not look for marriage. A dead man does not need papers. A dead man does not need to submit a CV. A dead man does not need to go to school. It's only one who is alive and healthy. That I'm not in the prison, I thank you. That I'm not in a rehab, I thank you. Come on, someone who is grateful. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Now we are going to pray. I want you to participate in every aspect of this prayer. For the first part of the prayer, it will require you finding a neighbor, two or three. And please pray seriously. Please pray seriously. The first part of this prayer right now is a prophetic action. You know what we are doing? We are going to allow the Spirit of God to go through the garden of our destinies. What seed was sown in my garden that is not by the word of God? What seed did I allow through ignorance, through carelessness? For some, it's still in seed form. God can uproot it. For some, you sowed it many years ago. Now it's become a tree. God can still uproot it. I'd like you to pray. Every tree that was planted by my ignorance, was planted by my carelessness, was planted by my indecision, was planted by my spiritual laxity, every seed that was planted by my compromise, every seed that was planted by my nonchalance to God, nonchalance to laws, nonchalance to men, I decree and declare, by the mercy of God, let it be uprooted right now. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Every seed. Weed your garden. Koinonia Abuja, weed your garden. UK, weed your garden. By the power of prophetic prayers, every seed that has been planted upon the soil of my spirit, upon the soil of my mind, upon the soil of my hearing, upon the soil of my actions, that is programming a harvest of pain, of death, of losses, in the name that is above all names, I declare, let it be uprooted. If it's become a tree by mercy, uproot it, oh God. If it's still in seed form, we kill that seed right now. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. Shabakata pakalakata prantakata rakata prantaskata pelekata. Pray. Seeds that were sown by your past, seed that were sown by your ignorance, seed that were sown by your days of inaccurate knowledge, let it be destroyed. Seeds of dishonor, let it be destroyed. Seeds of the flesh, let it be destroyed. Seeds
Seeds of laziness, let it be destroyed. Seeds of carelessness, let it be destroyed. Seeds of nonchalance, let it be destroyed. Someone is praying. A responsible believer is praying. An apostolic Christian is praying. You are redefining your tomorrow. You're redefining your future. You're redefining your possibilities. You're redefining every aspect of your life. Come on now, Koinonia, pray. Every seed you sowed in your ministry, every seed you sowed in your business, every seed you sowed in the life of your children, perhaps seeds of yesteryears that is now programmed into failure, programmed into loneliness, programmed into whatever unfavorable harvest, call upon the God of all grace, the God of mercy. Let there be an uprooting right now. 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 In Jesus' name we pray. We're still praying. Some of the seeds may not have been sown directly by you, but the Bible tells us that Satan is at the corridor of every garden, waiting for men to sleep. He doesn't need too much time. Overnight is enough, while men slept. Just a little time, a little allowance, and is able to move. Now we're going to pray. Every tree, every seed planted by Satan, by the power of the blood, let it be uprooted right now. Open your mouth and pray. Every tree planted by the devil, every seed planted by the devil, you're not wasting your time. Go ahead and pray. At Global Family Online, make sure you participate in that prayer. We're activating seed time and harvest. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, if allowed, he will reap. Whatsoever a man sows, or whatsoever a man allows to be sowed upon the soil of his life, upon the garden of his destiny, the garden of his tomorrow, he shall reap. We uproot every tree. We kill every seed. We make it inconducive for the seed to grow. Once it is not of God, seeds of wickedness, seeds of the flesh, seeds that are empowered by curses, seeds that were empowered by witchcraft, negative programming upon the soil of my heart, the soil of my spirit, be uprooted in the name of Jesus. Be uprooted in the name of Jesus. Be uprooted in the name of Jesus. Seeds of poverty, seeds of mediocrity, seeds of failure, seeds of irresponsibility, seeds of spiritual laxity, mental laziness, lack of productivity. Let those seeds die in the name of Jesus. For in Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Let me show you something about the prophetic. Jeremiah chapter 1, please give it to us from verse 10. Jeremiah 1, 10 and 11. Let me show you what the kind of authority God gave the prophet. Ready? Let's read together. 1, 2, go. See, I have this day set thee over nations and over kingdoms. The assignment? To root out. To pull down. Stop there. When you are done rooting out, when you are done pulling down, when you are done destroying, when you are done throwing down, if you stop there, you didn't finish the job. He says, when you are done, then you build, then you plant. Are we together now? You believe by faith that you've uprooted every installation of darkness as seeds and harvest. Now I'm going to give you the next 1 minute. And for this, I plead with you by the mercies of God. Use your mouth as a seed and as a weapon. Don't spare. Even if it's only one scripture you know, you are going to begin to plant seeds. For instance, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. For instance, 1,000 shall fall by my side and 10,000 by my right side. None shall harm me. For instance, I and the children the Lord has given me, we are for signs and we are for wonders in Israel. For instance, wealth and riches shall be in my house and my righteousness endure forever. For instance, God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. Come on now. I will call on one man, and a nation will respond. In the name of Jesus, my home is blessed. My children blessed. My spouse blessed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let them sow so. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and begin to pray. Sow seeds. Sow seeds. Take that responsibility. You are activating the law of the kingdom. You are sowing. You will reap. You are a sower. Your seeds are incorruptible. Your soil is purified. Cleared up of every demonic debris. Now begin to speak. Plant seeds. Plant seeds. Plant seeds. My mind is blessed. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Koinonia, you are going from glory to glory, no decline, by the power of the Holy Ghost. Koinonia UK, going from glory to glory, in leaps and bounds, representing Jesus, manifesting dominion, walking in wisdom, ever increasing dimensions of the anointing. Everything we lay our hands to do is blessed. Come on now. Pray over your job. Transfer the seeds to the soil of your job, the soil of your family, the soil of your finances, the soil of your mind, the soil of your spiritual life, the soil of your children. Are you still speaking? Love your destiny enough to not be silent. I have no contract with debt. I have no contract with depletion. I have no contract with failure. God will always raise men for me, men for Koinonia. We are not barren of helpers. There are helpers of the world from every nation, every tribe, every tongue, coming by the Spirit, coming by His wisdom. We build to last. Furnished by wisdom, we build to last. Furnished by power, we build to last. Immune against the arsenals of darkness. Go ahead and pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Look at me, ladies and gentlemen. Don't be tired of praying. This is June the 1st. This represents the 6th month. For someone, from January up until May, you really did not see the performance of the word of God because you did not participate. Can you transfer what would have been the harvest from January, February, March, April? Command June to deliver it. Open your mouth and pray. June, I speak to you. Become my month of harvest. I speak to you. The harvest for January. The harvest for February. The harvest for March. I sowed, but I didn't know how to reap. I sowed, there was a harvest in the spirit, but I didn't know how to gather. But I prophesied, this is my month, not only of the harvest, but of the gathering of the harvest. I gather it and I store them in barns for my prophets. Lift your voice and pray. The gathering of the harvest. The gathering of the harvest. I gather with words. I gather with praise. I gather with thanksgiving. Command your June to deliver. Deliver in business. Deliver in ministry. Deliver in my finances. Let my papers show up this month. Let my home show up this month. Are you praying? Let my spouse show up this month. Let my pregnancy show up this month. Let my joy show up this month. Let the job show up this month. Let increase show up this month. Let the anointing rest upon me this month. Let my influence multiply this month. Let visibility manifest this month.
Let my joy be complete this month.
Hallelujah. Do you believe this? You believe what you are praying? I'm telling you, I sense that something is shifting in the spirit. This is one koinonia service, as simple as it sounds, it will return for you with mighty testimonies. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, one last prayer. You are going to speak into your tomorrow. He has prevailed over death, hell, and the grave. The Lamb that was slain is the Lion who reigns. He has prevailed over death, hell, and the grave. The Lamb that was slain is the Lion who reigns. That's why I know that my tomorrow is blessed. Who is ready to speak to July till December? Who is ready to speak to 2026? A man of faith, 2027. Can I give you 2 minutes? Call them and program them by words. Send your seed into 2026. Send it into July. Send it into Sound of Revival US. Send it into Sound of Revival Canada. Send it into our November convention. Come on now. July, you are blessed. August, blessed. September, blessed. October, blessed. November, blessed. December, blessed. 2026, 2027. My remaining days, I send words of favor. I send words of increase. It is glory to glory. It is glory to glory. Grace to grace. Power to power. No decline. No untimely death. Pray for the next 10 years of your business. Pray for the next 5 years of your business. One more minute, you are praying. Don't be silent. Call 2025 a blessed year. This is a moment, a season you should not waste your time. Don't waste time just looking around. Pray. I'm in the days of his power, meaning the days of increase, favor, the days of fire. Call it days of abundance, the abundance of the sea, the abundance of the earth, the increase of the field. One more minute, you are praying. Shabra kateba lakus yaba. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Now for a final prayer, let me show you a mystery. Amos chapter 9 verse 13. Behold, the days come, thus said the Lord, where the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, him that soweth seeds, and the mountain shall drop sweet wine, and the hill shall melt. You know what that means? A day is going to come in your life where there will be a destiny equilibrium, where while you are sowing, a harvest is happening, seed is sowing. Are we together now? That you came to the farm to sow, but you find out that mercy was sowing for you, and that there will be both harvest and seed time together. Listen to me. God is part of your destiny. I hope you know that. You are not alone. That advantage, that God factor, must also speak in your garden. If Satan can sow, it means me and God too can. So while I am sleeping because I'm weak, since Satan came while I was sleeping, I can say, God, if for any reason I'm tired and I'm sleeping, let the sowing continue to bring your seeds, superior seeds. The parables show that spirits can also sow on the soils of men. They are permitted. Satan is spirit. God is spirit. No matter how hardworking you are as a sower, the reality of the human nature is that there are times you will be tired and you will sleep. I taught you during the conference that not all sleep means decline. Some sleep means you are exhausted. There are times you don't have the strength to even hold the seed. Before you sleep, make sure you announce which spirit should be in your farm while you are sleeping. Because if you keep quiet, God wants to still deposit seeds. You know the kind of harvest and the speed of the harvest by who sows. When God sows, it doesn't work like the seed of men. God can sow now and before service is over. That is the difference between a doctor's seed and a supernatural miracle. Two sowers, but one came with power. And in a moment, you can stand up from a wheelchair versus a recovery that takes 10 years. For someone here, you are about to pray this prayer. Lord, I have sown, but I bring before you my limitation. My situations right now overwhelm me. I need help and mercy from God. You are a sower too. I step back and I allow you. I'm a co-laborer. You are my senior partner. Yonggi Cho would teach us. Lord, I invite you officially into my garden. Someone needs to invite God officially. I've been doing business alone. I humble myself. Break my pride. My pride would destroy me in ministry, destroy me in business. I've exhausted all my options and my strategies. I step back. We are partners, but you are not my junior partner. Someone invite God officially to your garden. Come to my garden. Please sow the seeds. Seeds of greatness. The harvest you see in Koinonia, it would be deception to believe that everything you see are Joshua Selman seeds. No. There is a limit to which men can sow like this. When I lie down to sleep because I'm exhausted, there is the merciful one. The merciful one who comes with his seeds, sowing beyond our efforts, sowing beyond our prayer, sowing beyond our fasting. In addition to the little we do, he multiplies it by his mercy. Someone invite the Lord officially. Come to the garden of my finances, oh God, lest I perish by my limited knowledge. I invite you, oh God, to the garden of my hope. I've read all the books. I've gone for counseling. It is not working. I invite your presence. 1 minute, you are praying. On this final night, this final session, I officially invite you, oh God, into my life, into my finances. I may be a Christian, have been a Christian for years, but no assumptions. On this day, the 1st of June 2025, I officially extend an invite. Be the Lord of my harvest. Be the Lord of my garden. Be the Lord of my mind. Be the Lord of my heart. Be the Lord of my thoughts. Be the Lord of my thinking. Be the Lord of my actions. Be the Lord of my ministry. The Lord of my business. The Lord of my pursuits. The Lord of my desires. The Lord of my plans. The Lord of my children. The Lord of my home. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something scary that I've learned about God.
as mighty as he is and as compassionate as he is, he never enters a door that was not open for him. He knocks and stays. He created the door, but he knocks and he will stay outside. Don't let your pride keep locking the door while he's knocking to help you. Don't let your carelessness and your nonchalance keep the door shut. Pastor Nat sang it beautifully and said, someone is knocking at your door. In case Ring sang it and he called it the merciful one. He says, hear my prayer. The hymn writer says, or the songwriter says, when my heart is overwhelmed, he says, lead me to a rock that is higher than me. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, when you invite him officially, like David Yonggi-cho taught us, to become your senior partner, then you will watch destiny blossom. You will watch destiny evolve. Men will look at you and size you and add up your success. Relative to you, it will not add. You will remain a mystery forever because there will be a part of the equation of your success that does not fit your status, does not fit your knowledge, and God will sign on that gap, assisted by the King of Kings, assisted by the Lord of Lords, assisted by the Lifter of Men. Can I tell you this? This whole discourse tonight, I just articulated for you the journey of Koinonia Global. What you see, you may look at a man. Oh, but ladies and gentlemen, do not over magnify this man you see. I am a junior partner. There is one who you cannot see, mightier, wiser, greater, more consistent, more sustainable. It is amazing that he does the work and then he allows me to be the visible part. That's why when people clap, we turn quickly and direct them and tell them, don't clap too much, you'll be clapping for the wrong person. Yonggi-cho calls him my senior partner. And we dare to tell you that no man excels unassisted. You are as fortunate as the spirit that assists you. And when the Father of spirits is behind you, standing behind you as a mighty, terrible one, then you are guaranteed of a great destiny. By the law of seed time and harvest, many have programmed and reprogrammed their tomorrow. I hope that by this you have received tonight, that you will end this entire, you know, the program, the conference, with this consciousness that if it must be well, I have a role to play, and that I will sow seed every day, protecting the soil of my thoughts, my heart, my mind, to ensure and insist that the seeds that fall upon these soils are seeds that are word compliant, spirit inspired, pro-destiny. And I can assure you, without all contradiction, your tomorrow will only reveal the glory of God when you follow this pathway. Be the sower. Find the seeds from the word of God. Purify the soil upon which they will be sown. Expect a harvest. Call upon God to assist you in the reaping. Enhance your reaping through gratitude, thanksgiving, and words. And you would have found the key to an enviable destiny. Let's give Jesus a big hand clap. Hallelujah. Let me make the altar call. For someone, you are that seed tonight. You are not just sowing, you need to be sown. You need to be translocated from one soil. In agriculture, there are times that seeds, for whatever reason, are translocated from a nursery and taken to the farm where they grow. Let me have your attention. Let's minimize movement. We're almost done. From Abuja, Zaria, Koinonia Global, and here tonight, UK, someone came to church this evening, this night, and you're saying, Apostle, I listened to you very carefully. Are you saying even my eternal destiny is defined by my participation? Can I sow that seed of surrender and submission? Absolutely. I'm going to make the altar call for one last time to wrap up our stay from Wednesday up until tonight. And you are in this place. Don't look at anyone at all. Look to Jesus. You are saying, Apostle, if you will give me just one more chance, I'm not ashamed to leave my seat and come stand right before the people of God, declaring the Lordship of Jesus over my life. For some of you, all through while you listened to me speak, as others were rejoicing, clapping, you were silent because the Spirit of God was speaking to you. That in the day, like today, that you hear His voice through these frail lips of clay, He says to harden not your heart. You can decide, like every farmer has the right to ignore an opportunity to be the seed or to receive the incorruptible seed of the word. But I beseech you by the mercy of God, I'm going to be counting 1 to 5 wherever you are. We're stretching for a few more minutes for your sake. I like a bold, confident person who understood everything I said and is not going to waste the prompting of the Spirit. Leave your seat very gallantly, and I like you to make your way to the front. Koinonia, let's honor them for this one time as they come. One.
Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever love you.
Two, keep coming.
Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever follow. I will seek you in the morning. I have learned to walk in your ways. Step by step, you lead me, and I will follow you all of my days.
Three. Counting to five and we begin to pray. Let's celebrate a mighty harvest. Those who are coming out from Abuja, make your way to the stage. Let's celebrate them back home, every one of them. And for the many who are connected online, I'd like you to stay put. I'm about to lead you through a prayer, and I'd like you to recite that prayer, believing that Jesus is listening to you and that salvation will be yours in a bit. Hallelujah. Four. Final count, five. One more time, let's give Jesus a big hand clap for this mighty harvest. Hallelujah. Now, those of you in front, please lend me your attention for one moment. I know you are filling your forms. A card would have been given to every one of you. And if you are yet to receive one, just show by wave of hands and someone will get the card across to you. You'll be required to fill that card legibly so that we're able to follow up on you from here. And then for those who are connected online, please let's have the link and the barcode. If you are willing to confess Jesus as Lord of your life, I'm going to be leading you through the prayer right now. Immediately after the prayer, please do well, scan the QR code and it will take you to a page where you give us your details and we'll follow up on you in the name of Jesus Christ. Please suspend completing the form for a moment. Let me lead you through that prayer. Can I request that you lift your right hand, not to me, not to us, to Jesus. Do that as unto Him. Say this as loud and as clear as you can. Say, Lord Jesus, tonight I have heard your word. I love you with all my heart. I believe that you are the Son of God. God bless you, my dear ones. I see you coming. He's seen you. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you rose again for my justification. Are you saying it? Say, right now, I receive Jesus into my heart as my Lord, my Savior, and my King. I declare that the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over my life. I'm a child of God. I go forward ever and backward never. Amen. Keep those hands lifted and I speak over you. Father, thank you. Your word declares, as many who will come to you, you will in no wise cast away. These beautiful people have come lifting their hands as a sign of surrender. And Lord, on account of their profession of faith, and upon the integrity of your word, we declare that they are bona fide recipients of your life. The power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over your life. In the name of Jesus, I declare you are saved, you are born again. The grace to live the victorious life is hereby imparted upon you. In the name of Jesus, you begin to walk in righteousness, loving Jesus and serving him all the days of your life. And together as a church, let's join to shout, Amen.
Amen.
So please do me a favor, every one of you. Thank you again. I would request that you move to my left. You would find a counselor waving a placard. Please do cooperate with them. They won't take your time. Just a minute, they'll have a word and a prayer. If you have any prayer needs, you can do well to communicate such to them. They are trained, ready to pray with you. It will be for a very brief moment. Thereafter, you'll be on your way to your seat. So to my left, that will be your right. Whilst we clap, please do reach for the aisles. Can you wave your hands? Let them see you. And then, by the way, there is a package. The package has been lifted. Every one of you is going to get this special package. Please accept it with love from us. Whatever is contained therein, see it as a token, just expressing our love to you. May the Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Let's celebrate them as they go, everyone. Come on, Koinonia. Can you give them... Keep clapping. Keep clapping until the last person gets...
You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all.
Everyone stand.
For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Together as a family with your hands lifted to the King.
You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Please allow me to make two quick announcements, and we're out of this place in a minute or two max. This is a very important announcement. This is from the Koinonia UK worship team. Everyone, of course, is listening, but this is particularly for our UK family. The Koinonia UK worship team is now open to receive new members. Praise the name of the Lord. Some of you have waited and waited and waited. Thank you for your patience. Now, they are officially open to receive new members. They are looking for exceptional music ministers, singers, musicians, instrumentalists. All interested persons, I'm told, should send their application to audition.koinonia@gmail.com. audition.koinonia@gmail.com. I'm also told that the format will be to write your full names and then a 1 minute video of you playing your instrument or singing. Listen again. A 1 minute after your full names, a 1 minute video of you playing your instrument or singing, and then your social media handle. Would also like to know your location, your city of residence, and then finally your phone number. If we don't have it displayed, okay, do we have it? Beautiful. So you have the information there. And then for those who are here and available immediately after the service, please allow them to move to my right. That will be my right. You meet with Dave and then he'll just brief you since you are here and you're on site. For all those who are not here and would want to connect, you can do well to get the details. For all other departments, please be patient. We're not open yet. When we're open, we'll let you know. For those of you who are not connected to any of our social media platforms, Koinonia UK has its social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, X, or Twitter, you call it. And so make sure you find out and then connect. And then, of course, do connect to our global platform, including our YouTube page for your edification. And whilst we're away, make sure you are connected to every service, not just the Koinonia service, any service that is streamed or aired live, make sure you connect for your edification. One more time before we share the grace, I want to say thank you to our workers. I want to say thank you for the leaders. Thank you to the men and the women of God who have come all the way. I want to say thank you to our team from US, from Canada. Keep clapping. I want to say thank you to you for leaving your homes, leaving your work. And let's give a big God bless you to the facility managers one more time. Let's thank the SEC facility managers. We want to say thank you. It's been a wonderful time working with this facility personnel. Thank you so much in the name of Jesus. I speak the final blessing over your life and then we're done. In the name of Jesus, may the Lord increase you more and more. Shout a believing amen. May the hand of God rest upon your life. I pray over your prayer life, fresh fire upon your altar. Your word study life, fresh fire upon your altar. I decree and declare everything that is not of God hanging around your life, may it be uprooted forever. Your work is blessed. Your home is blessed. Your finances blessed. Your health blessed. When next we hear from you, it will be testimonies of glory, testimonies of joy, testimonies of laughter, increases on all sides. And for all who stay outside of Glasgow, Scotland, and will be returning back to your stations, we bless your journeys. Go in peace. Go with joy. Be led forth with peace. In the name of Jesus Christ, let the mark of favor rest upon you. Let the mark of honor rest upon you. It will be clear before everyone that you are a people God has helped. In the name of Jesus, crying is over, sorrow is over, regret over, pain over. Welcome to your season of harvest, from glory to glory, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Now together as a global family, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit, let it rest and abide with us now and forever. Amen. Surely God's goodness and mercies follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. I'd like you to walk up to at least 10, 50, perhaps 100 people and tell them congratulations, you are blessed of the Lord. See you when we see. God bless you and I love you.